아니, 나는 좀 코알로 저에게 타도에게 삼바 제발라 다 강래 게 코와 코사기 네디기 디균시 통제 디균 통 균디 통한 자 균디래 타도에게 삼바 제고월 디니 자랑은 저기 에 녀와 녀와기 녀함 좁히에세 디스마 두신 니스디기 두신 하고 와체 자다 디니자 니텔리아 제베네데 디네 동화 용고 고시자 델레 동화데 타고 부두오셈 베게다 델레 마탄다 탑미네 델레 탈비게 탈탑 탑디 냠네 제고도 제자디 두신에 삼 다야다 제자디네기 델레 탈야기 귀디 가르스네 냠마 귤사바 사마주바체 냠마 사셰베네 아 님보도시 코네 바 장바이나 이는 코와 마소리아 예별 마지에 제 동안 연구 말해서 누신다 니서 하고 같이 델레 타르게 삼바지 델레 타르게 타블라지 뭐지 냠네 제고 그래서 이렇게 지역을 세대 가상 것을 모두신에 쉬바데
Good morning. So we're continuing in our presentation whereby we're looking at general at the faults of samsara and specifically at those of the lower realms. And the very purpose of this presentation is to come to see ever more clearly the sufferings of samsara and the potential sufferings that await us. And the purpose of this is to develop a deep determination to identify the causes that would lead to such a suffering result and to strive in the method to gain freedom. In particular, as mentioned last night, to develop the determination to engage in extensive purification and as a purification of past misdeeds through the four opponent powers and to have a stable determination not to accumulate anew misdeeds.
아니네 자다 나는 저기 녀마 강아다 둥어 중 살교 지게래네 제스카야 말와다 마오바네 중교를 지기 중 용규이네 다장 아는 소리야 디마야게 탑시야게 탑람제 고업 쉬어버인자 다장 아는 저기 된 먼저 고방도 된 캐바잔디 디 된네라 마 저기 간데스 탑람 주변은 주투에게 된 캐바진의 열에 드는 남주기 셰랍자 여버인자 아니 마오바네 되니기 니수 나 예비 지키니 이제 하고 와지 델리아다 마제기 탑람 안델레 타야게 탑람 다되는 거 지에고 고합이야 여버리 고합 여바나진 나저기 탑 디냠네 제바나 델레 마제 탑람 차상 지 투여바인자 당어저기 두신에 에 예위네다리 마 니서 하고 와지 디엔자데 델리아 냠네 집에서 제고 바데 김제로지다 니위 고시에 고비게다 김제로 지르와
In this process of a purification and restraint, it's important that one does to oneself sincerely regret past misdeeds. This is an indispensable part of the process of purification. But then one lets go. When one has generated sincere regret and the promise not to made the commitment not to engage in such activities again and engage in the process of purification, then let go. Don't dwell on past misdeeds. Don't let them eat up inside, eat you up from inside. What is done is done. What is important now is to take responsibility for our mind in the present and to do so consistently so that our future is thereby changed. This is what's important. Dwelling on past misdeeds serves no positive purpose. Purify, regret, purify, and let go. Moreover, through the meditations one has been doing on recognizing the incredible opportunity we have, having achieved a precious human rebirth, having encountered the Dharma, having faith in the Dharma, and so forth, recognize that we have an incredible opportunity to radically change the projection of our future rebirths and to strive at that. Any dwelling on past misdeeds, things we've done or been done to us, dwelling on that just holds us back. Rather use our wisdom, recognize where we are, what capacity we have, and strive by transforming our mind now to transform our future.
아나딘 망아지 디신 쉐데다 둔주이 꼴마 쉐로다
So we'll continue now from where we concluded last night, with looking at the presentation on contemplating the suffering of animals in the middle of page 96 in the published book and in the handouts on the middle of page
111. And you do nam
The weaker animals are killed by more powerful ones. Having become the chattel of gods and humans, they are not under their own control, but under the control of others and lack freedom, which is why they are killed, beaten, and harmed. Levels of yogic practice explains that since they occupy the same territory as humans and gods, they have no other place to stay. When it comes to contemplating the sufferings of animals, here at least we have observed directly what they have to endure. So through our own observations, what is presented here, we know that it is valid. So when you see in the first line, the weaker animals are killed by more powerful ones, this we see. Those here, size isn't the main criteria, but it's the power of or the capacity of the individual animal that enables them to kill others. And usually it's done for food, sometimes for pleasure, but in general it's just done to eat them. And this we see. One animal that has the capacity to kill another all too often will. But the suffering animals encounter is not just from each other, but also from humans. And in the second sentence, having become the chattel of gods and humans, they are not under their own control, but under the control of others, and therefore lack freedom. So we value freedom so. This is something that we all prize and seek. But animals have no freedom that to be spoken of. Even if they are in the wild, they're in constant danger. That's hardly a state of freedom. And those who are enslaved by human beings, they are slaves because they are seen as possessions. They have no freedom. They are used as implements of labor. And not only implements of labor, but as an actual source of direct revenue through the sale of their body and their body parts. The sentence continues, which is why they are killed, beaten, and harmed. So again, this we know all too well. The dairy we consume, the meat we enjoy, the leather that we wear, the fur that we wear, this is from the bodies of animals. This is how they are traded. They are raised as a commodity. They are seen as primarily a possession to sustain ourselves, to make our lives more comfortable. This is their actual situation, and they have no freedom to do anything about it. Then Lama Tsongkhapa, the next sentence, presents where they reside. So according to the levels of yogic practice, that since they occupy the same territory as humans and gods, they have no other place to stay. Namatsukapa continues. The Treasury of Abhidhamma Auto Commentary explains that their primary abode is the vast ocean and that other species evolved from there. So this is something that is largely still true today, that the vast number of animals abide in the ocean. The number of fish as well as other life forms in the ocean is immense. It's certainly incalculable. And they're from the oceans in ancient times. Then animals progressed from living underwater to living on land and in the air. Then Lama Tsongkhapa continues, but just before I read, here the translation needs to be changed slightly so that it starts with the word moreover, because otherwise it looks like that the first sentence I'm about to read is connected to the previous one. Whereas here, a section to the end, or to this paragraph, the sentence that ends with terrified, this is a section that lists the sufferings of animals. So it's, otherwise the first sentence looks like it connects to the previous one, when it's now a start of a different section. Moreover, they are born in darkness, in the water, and there they age and die. Worn out by heavy burdens, they are put to the plow, shorn and driven, and killed miserably by many different methods of slaughter. They are tormented by hunger and thirst, sun and wind. They are persecuted by hunters and the like in many ways, and are constantly terrified. So you should feel saddened and repulsed when thinking of the many ways in which they suffer.
Chizanda 깔려로 견고를 찾은 또 신의 깔려 쉬우시는 견고 찾아야 칼라서 나가는 강아 찾으러 와 로봇이게 메러와 디네자데 두신의 개디 치와서 디송으로 와
Moreover, they are born in darkness in the water, and there they age and die. So since the process of birth, aging, illness, and death for animals, on one hand, it's not entirely separate from ourselves, but they, where it is vastly different, is they are without support and assistance in the way that we are. So when, as they start to age and then death eventually comes, they are on their own. There is no support to help them in these times of trouble. Worn out by heavy burdens, they are put to the plow, shorn, driven, and killed miserably, miserably by many means, different means, methods of slaughter. So this first part, they are worn out by heavy burden. So if we think back to the time before trucks, then animals were used in this way. They were used to carry produce. They're used to work in the fields. So this is still done in parts of the world today, but it's not nearly widespread like it was before. So this is a laboring that animals are forced to do. They have no choice. And we see also the way that the animals take advantage of each other, harm each other. For example, in the oceans, sometimes we will see barnacles and other animals growing on turtles and other animals in the oceans. And the one animal is harming the other, not particularly intentionally, it's just surviving, but this is what they do to each other. So the forms of suffering in the animal realm are quite immense. Moreover, that being forced into slave-like labor to plow and to help in other ways, as well as then having their bodies used, shorn, driven, and so forth. And then at the end, they all get intentionally killed. And sometimes the death will be swift. It may be even unexpected, but mostly there's tremendous fear in the build-up to their slaughtering. Moreover, often the slaughtering is not done cleanly, and the whole process of having their life taken is one of not just terror, but also immense pain. Then furthermore, they are tormented by hunger, thirst, sun, and wind. And this too we can recognize. In terms of sun and wind, animals, due to their lack of intelligence, can do very little to protect themselves. They're largely just persevere. And in terms of hunger and thirst, some types of animals can migrate much more easily than others. Most types, they just endure. And furthermore, they are persecuted by hunters and the like, and in many ways they are constantly terrified. So for ourselves, when we see the environment that wild animals live, for us it's very relaxing. We like to observe them, and for us, we maybe even fantasize about living somewhere remote and quiet, seeing how peaceful it is. But this is not how animals experience it. They are in constant danger of being killed by an animal that's more powerful and being hunted by humans. So they may live in an environment that we find appealing and peaceful, but for them it's not. They still live in constant terror. What has been described here, in our modern world, we are largely very aware of. But it's important still to reflect on, because one can all too easily romanticize the position that they are in. But really, it is one of constant terror. And whilst this presentation may be approachable to us for these actual beings, there will undoubtedly be other forms of suffering that they experience that aren't so apparent to us. So it's so useful, because we observe, this is very real to us because we have seen these forms of suffering, that it's a basis for generating some compassion for them. And based on that, we can try and minimize the harm that we cause, and where we can give help, we do so. So there is benefit for us in this way too, of reflecting on the suffering of animals.
아니
Lama Tsongkhapa concludes with, so you should, concludes this paragraph with, so you should feel saddened and repulsed when thinking of the many ways in which they suffer. So this meditation, as in all the meditations in this section, one imagines how beings are suffering there now, imagines what it is like for them. But then it is imperative we take it to the first person to recognize that I may well be there, be born there in my next life or in a future life. This is entirely possible. And then we imagine how it would be for ourselves if we were experiencing these sufferings, but not as a human being, because as a human being, we have our intelligence and as well as communities which can help and assist us. As an animal, one does not have this. One so one imagines oneself having to live in the constant fear of being caught and eaten by another, possibly eaten alive, as well as being exploited by those with more power, so by human beings, and being too dull and ignorant to do anything about it, as well as the sufferings of heat and cold, hunger and thirst, and recognizing that it is a life of slavery. It's not a life of relaxation. Of freedom at all. Then, having reflected in this way, so this is in relation to animals, but it's to the whole topic, reflecting in terms of the beings living there, as well as how it would be if I were living there as such a being, without my intelligence, without my community for support. Then it leads us to, feeling saddened and repulsed. So saddened for the situation of beings there, for those enduring right now in this way, and repulsed in terms of repulsing this the notion that in samsara there are pleasures to strive for, because these are the faults that follow, the suffering that can follow by continuing to be dominated by the afflictions. So one's repulsion is towards samsara, one's saddened for beings who are suffering there. And then the final point is this determination. I have to change the trajectory of my lives. Even if this life has largely been good and I've been accumulating virtue, I need to speed this up, strengthen this, and commit to both purifying past misdeeds and accompanying that, refraining from further misdeeds, and to ensure I live an ethical life. In other words, I restrain my mind from the afflictions. So the outcome of this meditation is not a despondent mind, it's not a weak mind, but rather it's a strength and determination arises. So one, in one's meditation, feels emboldened, empowered, recognizing that I have a precious human rebirth, I've met the Dharma, I have faith in the Dharma, and I can change this and lives to come. This is how the quality of mind with which this meditation concludes. What is to be avoided is to approach this as a story. This and other sections here. Otherwise, it's no different from watching a wildlife documentary, seeing our animals live and being taken up by either sorrow for them or the beauty of their environment. This is not the purpose. These are real lived experiences for mother beings. Moreover, they are real possibilities where we may well be reborn.
And then,
Then Lama Tsongkhapa concludes with the lifespan of animals. As for their lifespan, the Treasury of Abhidhamma states that the longest animal lifespan is 1 eon, and explains that the long-lived ones attain about an eon, while short-lived ones are unspecified.
That's
been clearly stated, is the longest lifespan is that of an eon. And this last word, unspecified, it's more usually translated as uncertain. Then that's better, uncertain or indefinite. Because the shorter lifespans are very short. Some animals, their entire lifespan is very brief. So it's unspecified, the shortest ones. And of course, within this, whilst this is the potential lifespan, the lifespan of all animals is indefinite, in that they may well not live out their lifespan. They may be die naturally or killed long before their lifespan concludes. And now we come to the presentation on Hankyu ghosts, or the Sanskrit presses. Those dominated by miserliness will be born as hungry ghosts. They are extremely hungry and thirsty. Their skin, flesh, and blood are so parched that they look like burnt logs. So of the causes to be born as a preta, miserliness is a dominant cause, but it is not a sole cause. The realm of spirits, or the realm of spirits, is a lower realm. Therefore, the dominant cause to be born in the lower realms is that of being unethical, or having poor ethics. So that is the dominant cause. But to be reborn as a preta, one not only requires the cause of poor ethics, but also miserliness. So to be born in the lower realms requires unethical causes created due to not being ethical. So, for example, that of killing. So if the non-virtuous cause is very powerful, it's more likely to lead to a rebirth in the hells, less powerful as a spirit and less powerful than that as an animal. So therefore, this shows that in terms of non-virtue, a particular type of non-virtue will have a varying gradient of severity. So for example, that of killing. So killing has various components, that of motivation, that of the preparation, the performance, and that of motivation, that the object, the motivation, the performance, and the conclusion. Within that, the conclusion is always the same. The being that has been killed dies. But the other parts, there's tremendous variety. So the motivation, there will be motivation that is weak or intense, as well as the in terms of the performance. There are very differing ways to kill, those that cause much more suffering, and where the death may be prolonged. So this then, of course, makes the karmic cause that much worse. So to be reborn then as a preta, one requires both a general unethical non-virtuous seed, such as killing, as well as being conjoined with miserliness or assisted by miserliness. So through poor ethics, one is born in the lower realms. And depending on the strength of that propelling imprint, one is born in one of the three, either as an animal, or if it's a more severe imprint, as a preta, or a more severe imprint that propels the rebirth, it is then in the hells. So it's ethics, or the lack thereof, that determines rebirth in the lower realms and which realm. In terms of one's conditions in that rebirth, this is dictated by the accompanying imprints, such as generosity or the lack thereof, patience or the lack thereof. So, for example, as said here, being born as a hungry ghost, then one's poor ethics is accompanied by miserliness. This will lead to rebirth as a preta. But let's say the propelling imprint to rebirth in the lower realms is one of non-virtues, perhaps killing, but it's not a particularly strong non-virtuous imprint of killing. Then the being takes rebirth as an animal. And let's say this rebirth then is accompanied by some really good virtuous karma. The being will be reborn, for example, as a dog. So some dogs are in remarkable circumstances. They are enjoying the fruits of their generosity in previous lives. They live as a pet. Their environment is safe. Their home is comfortable and stable. It's warm in the winter. It's cool in the summer. And for food, all they need to do is wag their tail and food is delivered. Their life is very easy in terms of the quality of the conditions they have. But they are still stupid. They are still restricted in terms of their capacity because they are just dogs. But they are enjoying the benefits of their generosity. Also, dogs have varying personalities. Many are enjoying the fruits of patience. Perhaps they may be a beautiful breed, and then people who see them think they're just magnificent, and they lean forward to stroke the dog, to pat the dog, and because the dog is enjoying the fruits of patience, the dog immediately bonds well or reacts well to people and develops close relationships with others easily. So this we see very clearly with many breeds of dogs, that they are enjoying the fruits of patience. Other dogs, though, they're not so attractive. It takes most people perhaps don't find them as attractive as others. And also some dogs have personalities that are not so pleasing. And there we see their fruits of patience are either entirely lacking or somewhat limited. So this is an illustration of a rebirth dictated by poor ethics, but then embellished by patience and generosity. Other animals, their situation is completely different. They are experiencing the results of unethical behavior, a lack of generosity, and a lack of patience. So this kind of animal, when most beings, such as humans, we see them, immediately fear or aversion arises towards them. We become apprehensive. People may well kill them very easily because fear arises in us. So there clearly is a result of not only unethical behavior, but a lack of patience. And they may struggle to support themselves. They do not live in a comfortable environment. They do not live in a safe environment. And they may struggle to get food and drink. There we see the results of lack of generosity. So in this way, we come to recognize how a variety of virtuous seeds are required to bring about a good rebirth. But most important is that of ethics, which keeps one in the higher realms. But again, for the topic here, to be reborn as a preta requires both poor ethics as well as miserliness.
Ani dini ki deda jan sena she shewe idas ki deda jan che gom ne tenpa se to kondi gidi na ka gom ya da zho do liya ji du shi ne yung go re sen ne ba ba da xia cha gan bie ndong dung chik ba to bae ji su bu di kha shi de bae ji xia da ba ba da gan bu din bae ji bae xin mie yi chik ba na na bu ro xio rwa xin ndong dung se mie yi chik ba di ne di zhu bu zi da
安尼是个东给炸的个东的炸炸的个那人不怕东的个吃上干部就开始了不是啊？对那个，安尼信徒干部性，安尼接大巴是对那干部接，安尼别这个，对那接大巴是对在卡拉罗是去罗西那的，对那马拉是接的帕多西那，都是大的了，对那是用过来些些，在其他路些。Having then presented the causes for rebirth as a preta, then Lama Tsongkhapa describes their experience. They are extremely hungry and thirsty. Their skin, flesh, and blood are so parched that they look like burnt logs. Their faces are covered with hair. Their mouths are exceedingly dry, and they keep licking their lips with their tongues.
Adene ida de la pene rig masona ya rig sumro chore sen de la sum se segom la china jibo yoba segom la nangi jibo yoba ane segom segom nila an jibo yoba wo se ji de ne gi da du sin ne rig masona ko sum yong gore ji le.
The Lama Tsongkhapa presents the three types of pretas. They may be categorized as three kinds. One, those with external obstructions to food and drink. Secondly, those with internal obstructions to food and drink. And thirdly, those with obstructions within food and drink itself. Now to look at each of those three groups in turn, or three types in turn. The first, as for the first kind, when they approach springs, lakes, and ponds, they are stopped externally by sentient beings holding swords, spears, and lances. They also see the water as pus and blood and lose their desire to drink it. The general suffering of pretas is this intense hunger and thirst. But there are those for whom there's abundant food and drink around them, or sufficient at least food and drink around them. But there are external obstacles to them being able to enjoy it. There are these beings who prevent them, making it impossible for them to partake in what surrounds them. So these are beings experiencing intense hunger and thirst. And just over there is the food and drink they desire. But they are stopped from approaching it. They're stopped from partaking even in the slightest by external beings. Hence these are pretas with external obstructions to food and drink. The second of the three
times. 예, 나도 오늘 말이도 아직 말했어. 현기, 개 마제바 랑기 세금 니도 진짜 사도 미니스. 제사다 현기 개 바시 대지 대지 당보들 파 소소 통나야 소소 사이 카다도 야후에는 현대 가시 사투기 엄마 라기 엄마로 봐. 다대지 가가 매 바시 코로나 사야 통야도 주다. 지라기 엄마네 사이 코로나 대지 당투기 엄마 다대. 다디 코로나 기운도 와 코로나 카다. 대니기 더는 괜찮아요.
The second type, those with internal obstructions to food and drink. So as we see here, the obstruction does not come from others, but from their own body. The second kind of mouths, like the mere eye of a needle. So they have large heads, but a tiny, tiny mouth. So this is their obstacle to both eating and drinking, that they cannot put food or almost no water through this tiny mouth, despite their intense hunger and thirst. Their mouths blaze with fire, and they have goiters and swollen bellies. So even if they get some moisture into their mouths, it immediately evaporates because of this fire within their mouths. So they have this obstruction that they can't get food in. They can get a tiny amount of water, and the water cannot get into their body and replenish their thirst, quench their thirst because of this fire in their mouths. Then they have goiters on their throats. They can't swallow food, and their bodies are swollen. So they have this large head, this tiny mouth, a swollen belly, and just spindly legs. So their legs struggle to support this poorly proportionate body with a swollen belly and a large head. And even if they end up finding food and drink, so the food and drink isn't as plentiful as for the first type of preta, those who have the external obstructions. Yeah, the food is less plentiful, but They even when they encounter it, whilst there is no one stopping them from partaking, they have obstacles within their own body in relation to the fire in the mouth, their tiny mouths, and so forth. Then the third of the three types. So these are pretas with obstructions both within food and drink. It's within obstructions within food and drink itself. Among the third kind, the fire garland ones get burned because everything they eat and drink catches fire. The filth eaters eat excrement and drink urine. And the third, they eat and drink only what is unclean, smelly, harmful, and disgusting. So of the three types of pretas, this type with its various different groupings, it's seen as having less suffering than the others, because at least they are able to access food and drink, so there's no external obstacle, and they have no inner obstacle in terms of the body to engaging in the food and drink, so they can eat. But for them, due to their karma, there is a problem with the food and drink itself. So we see in the first type, the first type within this. The fire garland ones get burnt because everything they eat and drink catches fire. So they have food and drink. But when eating it, they cause themselves intense pain. And the second type, when they see food and drink, but when they approach it, then it becomes for them filthy. The filth eaters eat excrements and drink urine. They eat and drink only what is unclean, smelly, harmful, and disgusting.
啊，那开始呢，相继三些沙瓦当、藏马当、桑普萨东居民女所，就那里开，伊拉开始，这些的这些些把那边做巴达的呢，相相继的做巴的一般，独家的些菜嘛，都藏马的些，藏马的雅布的些，啥土肉嘛来是呢。
Within this type of preto, we've looked at one type, fire garlands, fire garlanded ones, and they are the filth eaters, and then there are others. Some cut their own flesh and eat that. They cannot consume food or drink that is clean and wholesome. So here too, we see that they can't, like the filth eaters, eat food and drink, but or eat food and drink that is wholesome. They end up eating their own bodies.
但是现在的这些高原的这些，你也得对事儿，你也得考虑了，现在你也得准备领地，我把这些我这接班的月经，先你你得了准备个准备来些多少？As
with the previous presentations, now Lam Tsukapa presents their abode where the pretas are to be found. The treasury of Abhidhamma Uttara Commentary states that their main abode is situated 500 yojanas below the city of Rajagriha in this world, while other hungry ghosts have spread out from
there. 啊，那你你没事，这些家伙们，那他这些路，这些呢，是因为些当，这里闽南边大瓦吉那下吉都这边的让路，让路，那家土坡松了，松巴啥？
Again, as elsewhere, then Lama Tsukapa presents their lifespan. As for their lifespan, levels of yogic practice and the treasury of Abhidhamma explain that one human month is a day for them and that they survive for 500 of their years.
Here
Lama Tsongkhapa presents his source and explains that the length of their lifespan, as we can see here, is immense when compared to us human beings. So therefore, they do not quickly pass from the suffering at all.
那写经来，咱那些几百的，那写经拿了个送是，把写没把东岸定居了，把年把这边的来些下半年三月金币，旅行开这个路，我东大把，我东大单吃羊吃米，就是些送是。Then
Lama Tsongkhapa quotes a letter to a friend, enduring, and I've just inserted one word in the second line, enduring suffering uninterruptedly. Fettered firmly by the noose of negative deeds, some embodied beings do not die for 5 or even 10,000 years.
啊，那你嘛这些的来些送的也是，一旦给这些龙啊洞的，这别的一旦给，一旦开些罗一些开些这些龙啊洞，一旦开些这龙啊洞长啊对吧？开些那六七对吧？七一吧？那这把些是这，就当开些它。
So this quotation is, because before Lama Tsongkhapa, he referenced sources, here he's showing a source. And in here we see, with further information is provided, that there is a variety of lifespans endured by pretas. Some embodied beings do not die for 5 or even 10,000 years.
And
So then Lama Tsongkhapa commented on that verse. The commentary explains that the lifespan of some Bhikkhu ghosts is 5,000 years and others 10,000 years. And he goes on, in all three lower rebirths, the body size is indefinite. Levels of yogic practice says the power of the non-virtues gives rise to varying sizes. So here we see, again, as I spoke about earlier, independence on the strength of negative karma created. This determines both the realm that we end up in, as well as our physical basis, our body, upon which we experience suffering, as well as the variety of conditions within that realm. So this all comes about through the varieties of karmic causes that ripen.
Dada me marmudu lava chugnes sha chik devadang. Ane gunla kangla chapusu ngwe me per desam de devadang. Ane sha ka yang satung me badang. Lula jangbu sosi sota bigi zamia. Suka na ne tanya da, danya da, ida da, durugi, durugi chile. Sumburus me.
Lama Tsongkhapa then concludes the section with an outline how it is necessary to meditate on this until experience is gained. Accordingly, when you think about the sufferings of the lower rebirths, you should reflect, if it would be difficult for me to sit for one day with my hands stuck in embers, or simply to sit in a freezing cave during a winter storm without clothes, or to be deprived of food and drink for a few days, or for my body to be bitten by flies and the like, then how could I bear the sufferings of the hot hells, the cold hells, the hungry ghosts, and the animals that devour each other alive?
Dile 제사 되는 게 뒤로에 나다 만질이야 직 둘로 빛이 부정마다 되는 게 두라서 제대로 산에 뒤에 맞아 봐 딜에다 뒤로에 있잖아 미 바보 쉬어 쉬어 봐 진자마서 동아 바보면 봐 용고 제사 되는 게 두치는 삼단의 소수기 나는 체델이야 강한 체랑 삼단지 다 딜에 답교로 슉 체하시오 다 제사 냐와다 이다다 뒤로에 되는 게 나서가 계산도 뺏어서래. 세상 되니기, 세 대래, 되니기, 내가 봉하도 미 된대래야. 되니시 강아지나 강아시우 여바이나. 다 딜레에 대다 냐와다 이다도 둔들 쯤도 되니 봐도 매바 강아 여로와서. 다 강아 딜레에 마탄에 탑미도 마음 반응아. 딜레 마치고 진지민지 제고도 생비게다. 도시는 생비게 오래서 오래.
Tsongkhapa says here, accordingly, when you think about the suffering of the lower rebirths, you should reflect. So here you see Lama Tsongkhapa stating what I've said earlier, is that we approach this topic, as with all Dharma topics, reflect, taking it as personal advice, personal to us. So not just a mere description of far off lands, but of what potentially could befall us and what other beings are enduring right now. If it would be difficult for me to sit for one day with my hands stuck in embers, or simply to stay in a freezing cave during winter, a winter storm without clothes, or to be deprived of food and drink for a few days, or for my body to be bitten by flies and the like. So here he's describing the situation in the various hells, in the hot hells, where beings have their hands stuck in embers and so forth. For ourselves, we know if we just slightly burn our hand, immediately we remove our hand from that source of heat, because we cannot take even a moment of slight extreme heat. These beings have no capacity. They do not have the option to remove themselves from that suffering. This they have to endure continuously. They cannot remove their hands from burning embers. They have to endure. And likewise, for ourselves, we have the intelligence to say if something's hot, we remove ourselves from the situation, or we wear clothing to protect ourselves from the sun. These beings cannot do that. And so too with cold. These beings in the cold hells, they cannot put on warm clothing like we can if we are in a freezing environment or turn on a heater. They cannot remove themselves from that situation. We may move from somewhere cold to somewhere warm, from outside to inside. In that cold hells, that cannot be done. You just suffer and die and reborn. Suffer, die and reborn. One cannot escape. So we recognize how we could not endure this. And similarly, being deprived of food and drink for a few days. So we know if we just go without water for a short while or food for a short while, our mind gets tense and we get uptight. And we desperately seek out solutions. And generally, we can find them. But for beings in the preta realm, what can they do? This is the strength of their karma determines they will just suffer like this and die. Suffer and suffer and suffer. They can do nothing about their situation. And where further? Oh, and they be bitten by flies and the like. So for ourselves there, we know we can do something. If we are in a situation where there are insects that are potentially biting us, we can either remove ourselves from that situation or we can protect ourselves with clothing. Beings in the neighboring hells, they cannot do that. Where there are those insects or birds that attack them, they cannot protect themselves. They just suffer. So this is the situation for beings there. And we recognize, how could I bear the suffering of the hot hells, the cold hells, the hungry ghosts and the animals that devour one another? So we reflect in this way, recognizing just how unbearable it would be for us and how it is for beings there now. Lama Tsongkhapa continues, you should meditate whilst evaluating such experiences until a change of heart occurs, giving rise to intense fear and terror.
で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で、で 되니기 다체 될 양한 남시 장부 되니 집변에 차와 질매갈 두시 치원 차와 되니 요번에 된야와 찬님께서 나 간에서 강하여래서 딜리다 축체여 여러 와서 비 두시네 소소 장만나라 차베 둥아 되니 두아 딜리다 된야와 장현 되니 딜리 둥아 되니 여러 와서 비 두시네 삼단 냠나 바바서 월 체디 소소게 강아 되기 두시네 파서 마음바디 여바디야 두시네 두시 냠나 바 되네 이제는 Dina ha hoi nu din, a zai da dele ma ta na ta min u se, dele da besan, besa sa re se, ma dele ta gu du sen bi ki, dine, dine ki ngan sun ki, nyawa yi da, dun ru sum ki, ngan sun ki, dunga dele pa, dele da ma ta na ta min u sen bi ki, dele ya, cha ne, dele ta du ki, samba, yi gyu wa zi, yi gyu zi, ta gu du sen bi, samlo di, du si na gom go re se, dine, nyawa ma sun ki ba zu, yi gyu wa ma sun ki ba zu, gom ba cha wa, dine du si na, yane samta du, dine de ge di na samla na, ta dine de ta gu go re sen bi ki, samlo chi ma zu, yung me ya re, yung go re, ji de nyawa, yu wa tun ba re, dada nga zu, dine samta de, sha sha, dine yo re samla do, dine jik samla ya, an jik da da ta gu go sen bi, samla li go ma rwa, dine zu, ma gu ma zu, samla yu wa tun tu yo ma re, Do send Danya Dunga to get Yawa the Yidada, Nandu Dunga to get in the Yorwa some Taji, a Dunga Tele Dinner, the Tele the Matana, Tabminu, Sabi, Samla Gidina, Dinesh, some of the court by that, then you want to go to go, Sim Yuadu Gorda, Sim Yuadu, Jesa Dinigi, Gedi in a Dinesh, Tele the Matana, Tabminu, Sabi, some of the Juma Mayimba to Kegi, Dima Jeba Dusin, some Tayane, and some Dong Gong was it, Sage to Kumbashi Goma. やねやで、全然さんだてで、たこどせんべ。またばね、でれきるほど、けばね、かがて、むだせんべ。でねけ、な、どうしてね、さんだいで、んちけ、でれや、ね、こんばしで、よわまちんばとこんばで、やねやで、さんと、あ、てれでだまたんで、たみでれ、たこどせんべ、さんのじ、げてんなれでわちちゃごろわ。でね、で、でまれ、でねまればど、こんごりえせ、どうしてね、よわまちんばとこんばちゃおす。
This is an absolutely key sentence that presents how to meditate in general and the very purpose of this chapter. You should meditate whilst evaluating such experiences until a change of heart occurs. So it's very clear we're talking about this chapter here, but this is also general advice in that every single topic of the Lamrim needs to be meditated on repeatedly over a sustained period until a change of heart comes. And when a change of heart comes, one then must continue to meditate on that same topic until the change of heart is stable and will not ever waver, no matter what obstacles we may encounter. So this is crucial advice contained in just the first half of the sentence. So in the context here, it's been presented then the overall description of the experiences of the lower realms. And it's been presented in a way that we can relate to because we've either experienced sufferings such as this in a very slight manner, or we've observed it elsewhere in the world. So we can relate to this. So we can imagine what it would be like to experience such suffering, because we have experienced it a bit. And then we imagine experiencing it in a way where we are helpless. We cannot remove ourselves from the situation. We cannot even remove our hands from burning embers. We cannot remove ourselves from this area where there is no food and go to another area. We are absolutely helpless. The strength of our karma is such that there's nothing that we can do. This is a situation we know for animals. They're being led to slaughter. What can they do? They are just going step by step closer to a painful and unwanted ending to their life. So this we need to meditate on again and again so that it impacts on us. And when you feel an impact, and this is important advice, don't think the meditation has now served its purpose. That impact needs to be stable. So therefore, one needs to keep returning to the topic. And the usage of this term, until a change of heart occurs, giving rise to intense fear and terror, this indicates how one experiences this change of heart. So when this arises in an abiding manner, then our heart is being penetrated by the teaching. This is required. Because if we do not meditate on these topics, including this one, again and again, the words will continue just to wash over you. They will not penetrate your heart. And if they do not penetrate your heart, they will not lead to sustained change. Then one keeps hearing teachings, one enjoys the experience, but one's mind stays largely unaffected. The outcome of meditating on this topic again and again is the initial outcome is fear and terror for such rebirth. But when this has been brought about in a stable way, what fear and terror refers to is creating the causes that would lead to such a rebirth. Then one can imagine the strength of mind one has to be ethical. That when one is presented with a possibility of engaging in non-virtue, fear and terror for engaging in non-virtue arise. Then one's ethics is stable. And even when one is presented with a great temptation, one fear and terror for engaging in unethical behavior will ensure one's mind stays freed of the afflictions. This is the outcome we are striving for in this meditation.
Sādhu shūpi kodumā shīkila shūpi, shūpi, chōpi nīmā, rē rē lā yāng dāvā dōnchādhu jā yuē lās.
Lama Tsongkhapa continues, as you think about this now, with your good rebirth, you can purify whatever non-virtue you have accumulated previously, and lessen what you might engage in later on. Your intense aspirational prayers will direct the virtue you accumulated previously, thereby multiplying it, and open up many avenues for engaging in them anew. Every day, there will be some new way to make your freedom meaningful. Building on what was said in that crucial previous sentence, this year, Lama Tsongkhapa goes on to explain how this meditation what this meditation should lead to. Because this is the how we determine whether this topic has been cultivated within us. As you think about this now, so as you reflect on the sufferings of the lower realms, as you think about this now with your good rebirth, so we are able to sit here in comfort and in ease and think and reflect on what others are experiencing. So we can meditate on it at a distance. At a distance in the sense that this is an intellectual exercise for us. But those beings who are bound in these lower realms now, they do not have this luxury. This is the luxury, the leisure, the freedom of this precious human rebirth. Those beings are overwhelmed by their suffering. And due to the strength of their karma and the intensity of their suffering, they are helpless. Their situation is hopeless. They can do nothing for themselves. We, though, with this precious human rebirth, we can meditate on those experiences, what others are suffering with now, from a distance. And we can do so not as mere voyeurism, but we can do so to bring about a determination to transform the future trajectory of our lives, to use well whatever it is that remains of this life. You can purify whatever non-virtue you have accumulated previously. So one can imagine that when fear and terror for the lower realms arises, with such a motivation, one's regret, in terms of the four opponent powers, one's regret, one's reliance, one's power of the promise, and one's intensity in the antidote are all greatly amplified, which means one's purification has an intensity that would otherwise be lacking. Lama Tsongkhapa continues, and lessen whatever you might engage in later on. So by developing this fear and terror for the causes, one easily lessens the engaging in further non-virtue. Lama Tsongkhapa continues, your intense aspirational prayers will direct the virtue you accumulated previously, thereby multiplying it and opening up many avenues for engaging in them anew. So here, not only does one multiply past accumulated virtue, so in one's virtuous activities now, one accumulates extensive virtue because of the fear and terror one has for the causes for unethical behavior, for non-virtue. One thereby engages in virtue with an intensity. So not only does one purify extensively, but one accumulates extensively. Then Lama Tsongkhapa states, every day there will be some new ways to make your freedom meaningful. And this is the long-lasting benefit that comes in this very life, in that we know we are living a life of great meaning. And from this, a confidence arises, a joy arises, and we are able to apply ourselves in the Dharma consistently, with a mind ever less distracted by the pleasures of this life or the meager problems of this life. Rather, a mind that is taking joy in the Dharma and a confidence that we are transforming ourselves. To comment further on what I've just read, your intense aspirational prayers will direct the virtue you accumulated previously, thereby multiplying it and opening up many avenues for engaging them. So again, having developed through this meditation, a genuine terror and fear, again, not just for the potential rebirth in the lower realms, but now developed further than that, a terror and fear towards the potential accumulation of non-virtue, this will lead to a multiplication or multiplying of our previously accumulated virtue, and mean we'll accumulate extensively more virtue now. And this works in addition to what I said in the previous segment, that one is not only developing a determination to not create the causes to be reborn in the lower realms, a motivation of a being of initial capacity, but in dependence on your many years of studying the Dharma, you will your other trainings will come into play here, and your determination to gain liberation from samsara in its entirety, this will grow within you. So for you now, independence on your years of training to this point, engage wholeheartedly in the trainings shared with the practitioner of initial capacity. It won't only lead to a determination to gain a good rebirth, but to bring an end to samsara, and thereby one will never, ever face the possibility of suffering in the ways described here.
Dasar du chubi ki ko duma shigla, shubi, chubi, nima rere la ya, yang dawa dunje du jayu, siddhi dasar du chubi asid, jita ngansong dunga de la taku sembe, tatu ke sembe, dine ki ejen dasar du chubi tsurim sun ya, nyeje dunbi tsurim sun ya, dine ki, ya dine ida ki dunga de ke samdang de, de la taku sembe, da lunga kaso, ana jiki jimbe nyamlen chiya, sube nyamlen chiya, du sine,
Staying with the same part of the text, as you think about this now, with your good rebirth, you can purify whatever non-virtue you've accumulated previously and lessen what you might engage in later on. Your intense aspirational prayers will direct the virtue you accumulated previously, thereby multiplying it and opening up many avenues for engaging in them anew. Here, this final part, I read too much, the final part, and open up many avenues for engaging in them anew. What determines, as already mentioned, what determines the strength of the karma created, whether virtuous or non-virtuous, is the strength of the motivating mind. So having given rise to fear and terror for the suffering of the lower realms, in particular fear and terror for creating those causes anew, this will bring an intensity and a focus to our practice that thus far is lacking. We will experience this change. We will seek out opportunities to engage in our practice. We'll easily let go of what would distract us. And moreover, this intensity and focus will continue into our daily life, ensuring we keep our mind focused on being free of the afflictions, focused on virtue. Then when we engage in formal practice, engage in both accumulation of virtue and the purification of non-virtue, because of this intensity of mind and our determined focus, huge stores of virtue will be accumulated. For example, when engaging in generosity, our mind of generosity will be powerful and thereby immense karma, positive karma accumulated. And our ethics too will be abiding and lasting, making sure our mind doesn't come under the influence of the afflictions. This is how we open up many avenues for engaging in them anew, accumulation and purification, and how we come to make this life meaningful. And this will be experienced every day. Because of this intensity and focus, our practice will no longer be partial. It will be continuous. Lama Tsongkhapa then concludes with, if you do not think about this now, then once you've fallen into the lower rebirths, you will not find a refuge that protects you from those fears, even if you look for it. At that time, you will lack the power of mind to adopt what should be done and discard what should not be done. This is explained in Entering the Bodhisattva's Way. So Lama Tsongkhapa now brings many of the topics that we've looked at thus far and combines them or brings them together here. So part of the pitiful plight of beings in the lower realms is that because of the, as we've seen in this chapter, this both the intensity of their suffering as well as the strength of the karma that dominates them there, they are helpless. Their situation is hopeless. They can do nothing to help themselves. All that can happen is the karma finally, after an immense period of time, wears itself out, exhausts itself. But for that entire period of time, they do not have the capacity to come up with solutions. They do not have the capacity to even think about seeking or protecting refuge. They do not have the capacity for their previous imprint of the Dharma to ripen within them and thereby guide them in terms of what to adopt and what to abandon. They cannot do this. They are helpless. Their situation is hopeless. But we, with a precious human rebirth, we hold our future in our hands. For the vast majority of human beings, they have no idea about this. They do not recognize their potential. Having reflected well on our precious human rebirth, we have this understanding that with this incredible intelligence and having met the Dharma and an interest in the Dharma, we can radically transform the trajectory of our future lives. We can radically transform our direction of travel. But the time to do so is now. The time to do so is now because we may well not meet such an opportunity again. So in this way, Lama Tsongkhapa brings your previous meditations here and builds on them further. I
Jewachima, Mundu Gopan, Top Dindu, that Din Chavacha, Jamija, Sanshu Simla, so Chava, Yamaji, Din Mundu Gopan, Matan, the Tabidu, Sambi, some Dajem, Dushin, some the Ditobi Chiduota, Mazuluma is in Yajibu, Tutum Soya.
To present them just very briefly, or present in brief, a meditation to do having reflected on the suffering of the lower realms. Firstly, start with the aspiration to become a Buddha so as to lead all beings so that they gain actual protection from suffering in the ways described here. In other words, to lead all beings to attain freedom from cyclic existence. But for this aspiration to actually arise within me, I have to develop actual love and actual compassion for others. And to do that, I require a number of causes gathering together, ripening in the form of a precious human rebirth, which I now have. But this precious human rebirth, already much of it is gone. There's not much that remains. And of that much that remains for most of us, our strength, our capacity is not growing, but declining. So therefore, I need to make a change. I need to change what I value and prioritize and put my energy into utilizing this life well now, because it is entirely possible that I may fall into a rebirth described here. Therefore, before death comes, I must apply myself. And how to apply myself, or what to apply myself to? In particular, I need to cultivate ethical restraint. I need to, at the very least, ensure I do not cause harm with my physical behavior. And that's not too much for me. And I therefore need to strive also to ensure my speech is at all times ethical, that I do not create harm through my speech. These two are within all our capacity. And what we then need to also strive at, but it is much more difficult, but we need to strive at it, is to guard our mind, keep our mind ethical. In other words, to guard our mind from coming under the influence of the afflictions. This I must do. And then, whilst this is the primary cause, I need to cultivate a generous spirit, a genuine patient outlook, and cultivate enthusiastic perseverance for engaging in the Dharma. And as well as, to make prayer, to make excellent prayer, prayers such as to attain ongoing excellent human rebirths so that I can continue my spiritual progression and attain liberation and enlightenment for the sake of others. And to do so, to continue to meet my spiritual teachers at a young age, to recognize them as such, to seek their guidance and to strive to fulfill their guidance and to create those causes to have such future rebirths. I commit to doing so from right now, to taking these teachings and applying them in my heart. So then, thank you. We can conclude, therefore, for this morning. So the animals that may live for up to an eon, are they nagas?
Both
nagas and those which are not nagas can live up to an eon. Those which are not nagas that can live for such a length of time would be those animals living with long life gods. So gods, with gods and with demigods. So there are animals that accompany or surround or live in that realm, but being animals, they are of course not experiencing the pleasures of the gods, but they will have long lives, possibly up to an eon. So in brief, both nagas and animals that live in the god realms.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
This is just one thing I think about when I reflect upon the animals. So I was just wondering if when we see animals, whether or not we're actually seeing a reflection of our own prior existence as animals. And that's why we're seeing an animal. We're seeing an animal as something that is a reflection of our own prior condition. And maybe, and therefore, use that as a means of regret as well.
So, but you're not saying that the only reason we can see animals is because we were born as animals before. What you're asking is, should we use this as a means of meditation? That I can observe this and I have been born as an animal before.
It's a more general comment about karma. When we see an event that's a suffering event, is that a reflection of our own prior actions
okay.
in relation to other beings?
Okay.
So maybe we were animals and we okay. caused them the suffering of this.
Okay.
Maybe we were other beings. Otherwise, why would we see these things?
Okay.
Okay.
So part of what you said you certainly can and should use, recognizing I have suffered like this in the past. That's certainly to use. But the fact that one can observe such suffering or such beings is not dependent on us having been born in such a way or suffered in such a way. Certainly, since beginning this time, we will have suffered in every way that we observe, are observing or can observe, as well as every life form we can observe, we are likely to have been born as. But it's not that because we are born in a particular way or have suffered in a certain way that we can observe it now, because there are many life forms we can't observe. We can only understand through presentations such as these, but we can't observe them. But we would have been born in these ways in the past. So in this way, you can think about it in terms of, I have been born in this way. I have suffered like that. But just that far. So then let's conclude then. If there are more questions, we can continue this afternoon. Thank you.